is good here. Is John with us this morning?
He's right here.
Morning, John.
Good morning. You want to talk about tornadoes? I can tell you all about it. Grew
Yeah.
up with them, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Me too. I spent a lot of time in the bathtub.
Yeah. I've
Well,
never been.
my daughter was taking me around the outskirts of Illinois to different quilt stores. And we came to a quilt store right on the Mississippi River. We'd gone all the way up to Galena and we were coming down south. And as we pulled into the store parking lot, sirens went off and we looked across the river, and I've never seen those colors in a sky. It was absolutely terrifying. So she said that tornadoes don't cross water. I didn't know that, but I don't know that that's true. But anyway, we headed back to her place, which was about an hour away, and then she took off and left me there with my grandson with no cell phones. And I decided to take a nap, and all of a sudden my 9-year-old grandson is shaking my shoulder saying, "Come on, grandma, we have to go down to the basement now." And I could hear the sirens and everything, and I thought, oh, interesting. Red flags.
I've been to Oklahoma many times, you know, because of John's a family, and I have never been there. No, we've been there lots of times, lots of different times during the year, and I have never been there when there wasn't some sort of tornado warning or some sort of, you know. We flew into Oklahoma City one time in the in real turbulence, and we landed, and then we've got to just about 15 minutes later, we were traveling, you know, by car, that we hear on the radio that a tornado hit the airport.
Oh gosh.
Oh
Well,
my God.
I've driven by some farms where all the silos and everything are on their side. This is all in Illinois. I don't know why anyone would live in Illinois anyway. It's so flat. If you want to see nothing but cornfields, I guess that's okay. But
Kansas is like that.
so,
Kansas and Nebraska. Oh my
North
God.
Dakota. My son was stationed at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. He would not learn how to ski when he lived here in Ferndale. He gets to North Dakota and he takes up skiing. So I went to visit him and I said, "Well, where do you ski?" And he said, "On Turtle Mountain." And I said, "Where's Turtle Mountain?" And way off in the distance, there's this little rounded area. I said, "That's not a mountain, that's a bunny hill."
John that talked about the mountains in Oklahoma, and they're not, they're not nothing more than just a little hill.
Now, Northeast Oklahoma has mountains.
Good morning, Joanne.
That's you call they're called the Ozarks.
Not quite. We have our own Ozarks.
I've never been to Oklahoma, but I did like the musical.
Well, you haven't missed much.
Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes.
Which is why you're still living here and not in Oklahoma, huh,
That's
Joanne?
right.
Were you ever stationed at Minot, Bill?
Nope, never was. Been in and out, but never stationed there.
When my son told me there's nothing to do here, I didn't believe him, so I took the train out. And we drove all over the place looking for something to do and ended up in Canada. In a restaurant with this cute young lady waiting on us. And I said, "What is there to do, for my 19-year-old son here in this part of the country?" And he says, "Well, we just go to our friends' houses and watch TV." I mean,
Oh,
he had a saying about why not, why not come visit and see or something. I don't remember.
There's only, you know, my family came from West Texas, and I have to say that's worse than Oklahoma.
Yes.
Oh, good to know you're not at the very bottom, huh, Joanne?
No.
Where is your watch?
What, my water is in the bath.
All the water.
Okay, we've got another minute to go, and I think we need, we've got 1, 2, 4, 5 board members, so I guess we're in good shape. Barbara, welcome home. I heard you had quite a little trip away from home last week.
The week before.
But the week before?
Yeah.
I saw Janice when she brought you home. She was talking to me. Home.
Yeah, no, I'm back among the living again. We'll see what happens now.
It should go on for a long time. Okay, Patty's here. Jim's here. Patty, did you need to say something?
Could I do my report early?
Yes.
During whatever that is, first thing.
I'll put you in right after the minutes. So you'll be number 4.5 on the agenda.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay, it's 10 o'clock. Shall we start?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's call this meeting to order. Vale, could you do a roll call of board members, please?
Yes, good morning. Sherry Thomas.
I'm here.
Jody McBee.
I'm here.
Rupert Ayton.
Here.
Good morning. I'm here. Linda Sheeks.
Yes.
Charlotte Martin.
She's not here.
And Bill Donahue.
Here.
Thank you. Everybody's here except one.
All right. We have a quorum then. It's time for a members open forum. I don't see a lot of non-board members here, but does anyone have something they want to bring up in the open?
I have something, Sherry.
Okay. Joanne, go for it. I can't see you, but I hear you.
I think that it's time that we hire someone to repaint the streets with the curbing, the yellow markings is what I'm talking about. They're ran over, they're really in bad shape, and they just don't look fresh. And I think they need to be redone.
Hello?
Carrie, hi, this is Rhea. I know you've got the meeting going, but I can't get on.
Well, come on down to my house if you want. I'll let you watch with me. Yeah, there was a link there. Okay. You can also go to our website, and under contacts, the very first item is join a Zoom meeting.
Okay. So just go to VACNA website.
The VACNA website. Sorry, y'all. We'll get her on.
Can you mute yourself, Sherry?
I'll try it again. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, sorry. Rhea was trying to get on the website or get on the meeting. Joanne, I'm sorry, but can you repeat what you said?
Yes, the streets need to be repainted. The yellow painting is in really bad shape, and it's been ran over. It just needs to be redone. There's not too much of it, and I'm sure a team has someone that does that, don't you?
I think Bill,
I'm just questioning, what yellow do you mean? The pretend speed bumps?
Yes.
Oh.
They work.
Do they really help?
No.
Oh, I think they do.
I think they do. My kids always say they slow down for those, thinking that they're going to be hitting the speed bump.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way: once people realize they're not real speed bumps, they don't. Then they don't seem to matter.
They don't work over here in our area.
But yeah, in their minds, it reminds them of the speed.
They don't work in our area, but I do think that we should paint them, that we should do it. But I do worry about the speeding.
What about just putting in real speed bumps?
Yeah.
No. No, because yeah. You've got the snow plows. Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, we discussed this a few years ago and decided speed bumps were not what we wanted to do.
No. Pete? No.
I just want to say we don't have sidewalks, and we talked to somebody and they said, do not put in speed bumps because people with walkers can't use the road then.
Yeah, I remember that's what came up last time we discussed this. Rachel?
Yeah, you can do a more aggressive type of painting where it's bigger and wider, and you can do sideways slants, lines, so that it does definitely draw people attention to it more so, and that they will notice it and they will say, oops, I need to slow down, hopefully. I mean, you can do different types other than just the straight yellow line.
Linda?
I'm all in favor of that, but I think we should hold off until we know what asphalt or curbing repair we're going to do this year, because if we happen to have to replace, you know, parts or little patches where the yellow might be, then it's going to have to come back out and redo it again. So Rupert, well, I'm going to report that, but you know, I think we're concentrating on curbs, but we could have some roads too. So, you know, the likelihood of patches or whatever sealant being put where the yellow might be could be slim, but I think we should wait until we know where we're going to be working on our roads.
Good point.
Stephanie.
With regard to the yellow paint on the roadway, you know, I think we've got some rather large expenses related to maintenance that are unexpected. And it would seem like that's a lower priority when we're comparing it to the cost of, say, having to reduce siding and windows on houses. And moreover, our HOA fees just keep going up every year. And
enjoy.
Are there some of these things which are nice but not necessary that we can put off for a future time when we have some great windfall?
Any other comments?
We could have a volunteer team buy some paint and go do it.
Are you volunteering?
I repainted the sign, so if I could get down again, I'd paint the yellow. I mean, anybody that can do it, that would be great.
Well, I think we need to, as Linda said, Huizenga will be out here. We can ask Huizenga what they would charge for it. And then once we know where we're headed for the year and we know what asphalt work and stuff we're going to do, then
right,
we can decide how to deal with it.
Sounds good. Just put it on the agenda for later.
Thank you. Does anyone else have something they'd like to bring up? Okay, then. We need to add a couple things to your agendas. We're going to move the social committee report up to 4.5. And under unfinished business 8.3, we are adding the 1203 roadie. Anything else we need to add to the agenda? All right. You've all seen the minutes from the April 17th meeting. Are there any corrections or additions to that? May I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Jody.
Jody moves. Rupert, are you seconding?
I guess so.
Either or. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Right.
Any opposed? All right. They are approved. Patty, your social committee report, please.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me move it up. Well, we still have the ongoing card games on Mondays and Thursdays, and I don't think we've added anything new that's a reoccurring event. Craft Day is kind of on hold for a while. Maybe we'll start it up again this fall. Who knows? April 29th, we had the afternoon coffee slash tea event that we try to always have the last Tuesday of each month. And everything rhubarb was on that agenda for that, and seems like everybody enjoyed it. May 5th, we had Cinco de Mayo Mexican food, concentrating on tacos and everything that goes with tacos. It was well attended, lots of fun, plenty of food. My goodness, a huge buffet was set up of all kinds of things. Coming up on May 27th, the last Tuesday of the month, at 2 p.m., we have a coffee tea time scheduled. And Cindy and Earl are scheduled to host that. I'm sure it'll be something yummy. She's a terrific cook. June 10th, we have a potluck dinner scheduled at 5 p.m. in the clubhouse.
Did you say June 10th? June 10th?
June 10. I don't have a theme for that yet, so watch for when it's posted. I'm sure they'll put something on the door. Judy, Shirley, and Helen are hosting that, and they always come up with terrific stuff. So watch for postings on the door, and if we get it to Pete in time, we have him posted on the internet for everybody. So that's it. Anything to add?
Patty, just a quick, did you say Shirley, Judy, and Helen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Get two of us.
Pull up a chair.
Oh, good. Just for your information, Vale, Barb Green and Rhea Ramsey have just joined us. You can take things off of that chair. So we have more people. Okay, thank you, Patty.
Oh yeah, I forgot to say that Helen and Linda hosted the big bang we had on Cinco de Mayo Day. That
Yes.
was so much. That was so much fun. And
That was nice.
I know they really worked hard on it. They were both exhausted afterwards.
Yeah. They did a good job. Patty, you're doing a really good job of running that. So thank you. It's fun to see activities going on in there.
I'm not running it. I'm just reporting.
All right. It's really nice that you and Charlotte are taking care of us in this world of social events.
Such as we do, right?
That's right.
Thank you, though. I'll let Charlotte know.
Okay. All right. So we need a treasurer's report, Rupert.
Okay, let me share my screen.
Can you see the screen?
Okay, can everybody see that?
Yeah.
Okay, so audit update. As you all know, we're required by our actually required by the state to have an audit every year. It's supposed to be a timely audit. It's been a problem for us for several years. We're still waiting to get our 2024 audit. It's now May. Evidently, the auditor in charge was out on paternal leave or something, and everything came to a screeching halt. David is quite frustrated by it, as am I. And it was really slow last year, too. So we're considering looking for a new auditor again. And I suspect we may end up paying more because $2,500 just doesn't buy you much, as we can tell. My experience with audits are, I used to have full-blown audits and field work could be done in 2 weeks, and by sometime in March I'd have the audit. So I don't quite understand what's going on. But anyhow, I leave that in David's hands. Once we get the audit, then we'll decide what to do. Investment update: we've got 10 CDs at Edward Jones. One to 59 month maturity. So one of them is going to mature. This is as of the end of April. One of them is going to mature late this month. We'll roll that over, push out 5 years or so. The average rate is roughly 3.9%. We had $600 plus in a money market account earning a little less than 0.5%, and we've got 10,000 in the Treasury Direct account. I don't look at it very often. It's not like it's going anywhere, at least I assume, unless Elon Musk has got his hands on it. Back in the day of 2.96% and about $1,200 of accrued interest on it. And that, again, to reiterate, you can't withdraw that for 5 years. So we've been in it going on three. So we got a few more years to decide if we want to pull it out. April transactions. Yeah, I've looked at all the invoices that have been sent to me and all appear reasonable. Gas bill is a little bit high for the clubhouse. But we'll see. I think we still owe some plumbing expenses on the drainage issue. I'm waiting for several shoes to drop. I think I don't recall seeing anything from Blythe, and I think A-Team still has to send us something. So that has been one heck of a expense. And I can talk about more about that in landscape. Let's see. I reviewed the bank reconciliations, and everything looks good. As of the end of April, we have one unit owing $125 of late fees. And thank you, Rachel. It sounds like that owner has been contacted, and the problem is going to be solved, and that would be nice for all of us. So, looking at our numbers at the end of April, in our operating fund, we had total assets of $974. Sorry. $94,740.88. Liabilities of $36,303.78. Operating fund surplus then was $58,437.10. There's one issue that's hanging out there on the operating fund surplus. We voted last year to move the 2024
My
year
microphone.
surplus to the reserves, and I don't think that's happened. I need to follow up with David again on that. But let's see where the audit comes out too. So let's talk about revenues in our operating account for the 4 months. Revenues of $105,069.21. Expenses of $87,491.11. Operating net surplus for the year then of $17,578.10. And that's good. We're going to need it. It's going to be a tough year based on what we've seen so far. So reserve fund balance. Total assets and reserves of $267,873.32. So our revenue and expense for the 4 months, we had revenues of $33,266.29, expenses of $25,976.24. That left us
Peanut
with a
butter and
surplus
jelly,
of
or just peanut butter or
$7,290.05. We have had significant siding repair costs here in the last week or two as we painted. I know that's going to put us in a deficit. We're going to have to look and see, are there things we can cut back on elsewhere? But it's turning out to be a tough year, and we haven't even broken windows yet. And we've got other major things that are out there. So it's tough. And as far as how things are going, just in general, let's look at our graph here, our chart. So as you can see, if you look to the far right, that's April. And our maintenance and repair expenses were up. That's because we did the moss treatment on the roof. That's not cheap. That's like $3,500. So that's why maintenance and repair, the yellowy bar is up. But our general and administrative costs, the dark blue bar at the bottom, it's pretty stable. Our clubhouse is de minimis. Our landscape has been pretty stable. That's the gray bar. And our utilities are the light blue bar. That's pretty stable too. I hate to jinx us, but we haven't had any valve problems lately. I did look at the Jensen's house. They're never home, and one time there, the last month, it was up. Their water bill was up. That was March. And if I have a moment, I'm going to call the city and find out what's going on, because we haven't seen the April bill yet. Call the city and just make sure there's nothing wrong there with the Jensen's house, because I think they're there like 1 month a year. So that's it. Any questions?
I have a question. The plumbing behind, and the,
Cheryl Sheely's house and so forth. Is that done now? Is it?
Well, to digress into that, you know, this is funny. In landscape committee, we talked about the need to really understand what's going on with all the drainage systems. And I had hoped that A-Team would excavate so we could really find out what's going on. Instead, what A-Team did is stick a hose down there and measure how far before the hose stopped and said, well, you know, you got this blockage 10 feet out. Let's just use a new pipe. And so I caved and said, okay, use the new pipe. So what we know is that the right side of the house, if you're on the street looking at the house, the right side of the house, all the drainage appears now to go into that pipe and out into the buffer zone. And the buffer zone, we had earlier this year, we had the buffer zone cleared so that it drains into the pipe that then goes into a retention pond in that housing complex behind the buffer zone. So we think that will cure Cheryl's. I still would like to do some digging back there to find out what's really going on with those other houses, because we've got the Schobels in 1226, we've got Sidney Lynn in 1222, we've got Bill in 1220, and they've all had problems. And if they all work the same way, they probably all got the same problem. So, I mean, that's the only answer I can give you. This is the most frustrating thing. And in the landscape committee meeting, we talked about, can we hire someone to start doing some investigative digging back there? And so I have someone in mind, we'll approach that probably in the next month or so and figure out what's possible to do and what might cost us. So that's all I can tell you.
So Cheryl had mentioned to me French drains. Have new French drains been put in, or is that just being considered?
So one of the problems is the French drains drained into the drain pipe that was blocked.
Of course.
So Mike figured they were working pretty well. I do. One of the things I really am meaning to do, and Jim, I hope you join me in this, is I would like to see if Larry Green can recall exactly how the piping back there worked. I think it was Larry who put the French drains in, and an organization put their French drains in, and if he can remember what some of the underlying issues were and where the original drain pipe went, because that's kind of one of the questions. So yeah, that's all I can say.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Rupert? All right. Thanks, Rupert. Rachel, property manager's report, please.
Okay, good morning. Hey, Marnie. Yeah, so we got the work order report over to Linda, and it was pretty good from my understanding. There was two things that needed to be closed out, so that seems to be going well. As Rupert mentioned, I was able to reach out to one of your owners and hopefully resolve a concern with paying the improper amount of monthly dues. So that seems like that'll be resolved. So that's great. And other than that, just other than the normal management duties, there's nothing big to report.
Thank you, Rachel.
Oh, and Rupert, David is going to be looking around for other auditors. This is just ridiculous how long this audit is taking. It's just ridiculous. Unfortunately, you're not alone. We have one other community that's with the same auditor, and we're having the same issues. So agreed that we need to get a different service provider next year. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Linda, I've been riding around looking at all those newly painted houses, and they're looking gorgeous and bright and making others look dingy. What do you have to report to us?
Good morning. First off, garages, we had decided at the last board meeting that priority would be to find out which homes did not have sensors in their garage, because we consider them a safety issue. And I put out an email to all residents, and I had 7 people report back that they did not have sensors. So Rob from Bellingham Garage Door has been out, and we have done 6 of them. There's one owner that we're going to be doing in June. What it meant was the sensors being up to date and modern did not sync with our motor operators, so we had to replace the operators. So that definitely, you know, increased our costs. But those have been done now. I have a question or something I'd like to throw out there. And we don't have to decide today on this, but there were a couple homes that Rob was at. People asked, I think we're all entitled to one remote control, and that's the, you know, actual handheld one. But a couple residents said they've got 2 cars, you know, it's a double car garage. They wanted an extra remote. So Rob gave it to them, but we were billed $45 for each of those remotes. It's my understanding that, you know, a lot of these cars nowadays, you can program your car to open your garage door. So I'm just wondering, you know, if the association, if we should have been stuck or we should be paying for that. It's going to happen now, but in the future, you know, should we, you know, if the owners want another one, they either have to pay for it, or if their car doesn't work or to sync up, or they just, if they want an extra one. So I'm just throwing that out there. But in the future, I think we need to do that. And of course, Rob didn't contact any of us or myself to say, hey, they've asked for an extra. What do you want to do? So that wasn't in the process, the whole thing. But anyway, we've got one more.
I would just say, bill the owner for the remote, you know, because we all, you know, these things get passed down by the owners. That's what we're responsible for. And if they need more, if they lost one, bill the owner for the remote.
Right.
Yeah. Pete, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a comment. You can order from Amazon. I ordered 4 of them for $14.95, 4 of them. You can do it, but then you have to do the syncing yourself. And I did that. It's not very hard. The instructions are on it. So if somebody wants to give that a shot and wants extra ones, that's a way to do it.
Okay. Doug and I are doing a
walk
around.
Hold on just a second. Have we finished that? Are we going to ask those 2 owners to pay the $45?
I'll move a resolution, ask the owners to pay the $45 to reimburse us for the remote.
I second.
Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So
has Access gotten the invoice already? Or has it already been paid?
I don't know. I have a copy of it. You know, and it's detailed on, you know, the extra unit. So-and-so requested extra remote for 2 car garage, and that's in like about 3 units or 4. So, you know, it's a couple $100. I don't know if you've got the bill yet.
Okay, so what we should do is the association should pay it, and then we get the owners to reimburse the association, because you don't want the vendor not getting paid. So if that's what you want me to do in this motion, just let me know and I'll tell the team to look out for it.
How are we notifying the owners that they now owe us $45? Do they need just a bill sent? Somebody should explain this to them, right?
Yeah, board members should probably contact them, and then Access will send them a ledger with the invoice on it for reimbursement to the association.
Linda, do you want me to do that, or is that something you want to handle?
I can do it, but so does that mean then, like, if they're going to write a check or they want to, yeah, so they just make it off the village, Cordata, and mail it back to Access?
Right, because we need the vendor to be paid on a timely fashion. The last thing you want to do is have vendors that aren't getting paid, because then you'll lose the relationship with them. So the association pays it, and then the owner will reimbursed back to the association.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Linda, I'm sorry to interrupt, but go ahead.
It's okay. Doug and I are doing a walk around. He might already be up here, but we're still going to be looking at homes for possible window replacements yet this year. Again, I've reported, but I've given him about 7 units that sent me messages or talked to me over the winter, early spring, issues they feel they have. So he's got those numbers. And this morning, I've given him a list of the units that we have to possibly be painted next year. I don't know if we're going to be able to do all of them, but we'll go take a look at those, because ideally new replacement windows should go in before homes are painted. And that didn't happen in one case this year. So we've got a number of homes that we'll be looking at today. And I think that's the starting point where we're going to begin. Painting of all the homes have been done. The weather cooperated. So that was a huge advantage and a big project for us this year. I have been most appreciative of Leroy accommodating when I wanted the homes painted. And again, weather, if it didn't happen, but I asked that we could be earlier rather than later, because it seemed to drag on last year. So he got on it, and you all know how quickly and efficiently, and they're just a working machine out there, assembly line. I was having trouble keeping up with them at times, but I think it all looks great. And those that have, have picked a couple colors, and we're getting more blues in. And I think people are enjoying it. I've had a couple comments as people come down June Road and see like the backside of OB's house, particularly. And I think maybe Carol's 1250, they're noticing the colors and really enjoying them. So there'll be options in the future years for people as your homes are painted, if you have a home that, we can do this multicolor. So again, next year, there's 8 homes. We'll be working on year 2017, and there's 8 homes that were painted that year. So it's going to depend on what is budgeted and what Leroy will be quoting us to paint houses next year to determine if we can do all 8 or if some will have to be put off a year or so. I asked Leroy yesterday if he could give me an idea of what he might charge us next year. We paid $4,000 this year for each home. He said $4,100 first, but he said figure 42. I might have to go to 42, but I'm still going to keep it as low as I possibly can for you guys. We're getting a heck of a deal for that price, everybody. Yeah. I just feel if, we had to paint ourselves, it'd be double that we'd have to pay. So so that's what he's quoting me. So come time for budget, probably figure 4,200, and then how many of our homes we can do with that. He had a very good suggestion to me a couple of weeks ago. And so he and I are going to walk around later this summer yet and look at the homes that are scheduled for next year. And he looked to see if he could right off the bat determine if we're going to have some siding issues, particularly that we need, so we can budget for that. So when the budget committee meets, we will have an idea of possible monies we need to budget for siding, because we got shell shocked this year and, didn't have enough in the budget for what occurred this year. So I think it'll help us when we're figuring out the budget for ideas or, what he sees possibly might need to be addressed next year on these homes. So with that in siding, yeah, we ran into a couple issues on about 3 homes this year. There was extensive siding done due to, wood rot. We had to replace the entire backside of one unit. And that is done in hardy board then, because when you have a whole section or area of the hardy board. We're using that now, and you really can't tell the difference between that and this cedar. But it's less expensive for us there. But if we're just replacing a board here or there and it's scattered around in areas, then we're having to use the cedar. There's another home that we replaced the entire, they're the kind with it off the back porch, a door. It's a stair down to an asphalt patio. They don't have a deck. So the association is responsible for the repair of that stair case. And so we had to, that was totally wood rot. So anyway, we had a few homes that had to have substantial siding done. So that was a surprise, but it's going to be out there in the future because of the age of our homes. Those homes that had their gutters taken down, there's three of them this year prior to painting. The gutters will go back on next year, or pardon me, next week. And then Rupert and I are scheduled, we've set up a meeting to walk around with Joey from Huizenga and Joanne. I apologize, but I was going to call you. We're going to do, I think it's June 9 at 9 in the morning. So we'd love to have you join us. And we're going to walk around with Joey and get his ideas or recommendations on what we should address up here. We let him know what we have in the budget and we go from there. And it's, I believe we're going to concentrate, try more on curbing issues this year. But anyway, that's something to be determined. When Joanne talked about the yellow paint on the roads, it made me think of something that I forgot to talk to Leroy about, but I bring it up to you all. I noticed, and I just totally forgot with all this going on with the painting, as you enter our community and you stop at that first stop sign, we have a post that has like a stop sign on it, and it says Northwind Circle on it. That post is rotted at the bottom, way up. It's filthy dirty. The board around the Northwind Circle sign is filthy dirty. It doesn't look nice. It's, but is it one of those things like, we don't need to do it? But I was hoping to get a price from Leroy on what he would want to replace that board and then put our, new street Northwind Circle up. But take a look at it. We can look at it later or something, but it seems to me it's an eyesore. What 2 years ago we painted up the big entrance sign, the back, with the 55 plus or whatever, made that look nice. But this first the stop sign as you come in right in front of the clubhouse is the board, the whatever they are, 2x8 or 10, four, it's just rotted at the bottom, and the whole thing looks bad. So we might fix it up. It depends on what you all think. So I think that's it. We'll still be out there on windows. And Doug did tell me that if he has them ordered by August, he'll still be able to get them in yet this year. So I hope the bad winter weather holds off for a while, because it might be later that he's installing, but it's going to happen, I guess. So does anybody have any questions?
I have a comment. We had our solar panels cleaned the other week, and the crew up there said that the roof is in really good shape and it's probably got 10 years left in it for sure.
Good.
Okay. Good. I guess I'll add, I met with my architectural ad hoc committee members yesterday. Yay. And that is Leslie, Sid, Joanne, and Jim. And I had ideas of things that for long range planning, major, things that we have up here that we're going to have to be taking care of in the future. And we just, yesterday, we didn't come away with any major things. We just brainstormed on a number of things, and which included like our roofs, our garage door maintenance, windows, gutters, siding, our water and crawl spaces, crawl space maintenance, and our outdoor home lights, whether, you know, we're going to be looking at replacing the fixtures when we no longer can, Ron can order the sensors and the light bulbs. And so we sort of touched on all of that, but didn't come up, you know, with anything major yet. But roofs were discussed, and I still have the information that Rachel gave me last board meeting with Juan, I believe, from Axiom, to get a second opinion. And I will be calling him, but I figured it wasn't real high priority. Somebody, I don't recall who in the committee yesterday, said there's a sealant that can be put on the roofs that prolong to the life of the roof. And so Joanne has agreed to look into that and see what that might be about. I guess it's some kind of a lacquer, something that, you know, would possibly keep the moisture out too. I don't know. I'd not heard of it, but Joanne has offered to look into that and report back. And so our committee is going to meet quarterly, and, you know, just, you know, unless something major comes up, some crises, you know, that's when we plan to meet, is quarterly, and just, you know, start talking about these issues, and whether, you know, when it comes time to roof, you know, and how are we going to re-roof? How are we going to tackle that? Are we going to do it all at one time? Are we going to do 5 houses a year, which would take forever to go through? Same with the siding. I did share with the committee late yesterday. Again, I probably mentioned before, but I have some information on the cost of when they re-roofed up here, all the homes from 2006 through 9. And so that's quite a while ago. And the total bill came to, I think it was $395,000. So you can imagine what it's going to be in this day and age to re-roof all the homes. If it was basically 400 grand back in through up 2009. So but how we're going to do that, and siding and roofing and or, you know, gutters or whatever. So those are things that our committee will be talking about and you know, working with as issues come up, and these things need to be tackled and, you know, taken care of. It also led into, you know, what we pay for our dues and talk about assessments, which people don't want, and they don't like higher dues, but these things are going to have to be taken care of, and somehow it's going to have to be paid. You know, we have to pay for it. We did talk briefly about if we could talk to other HOA communities similar to ours and see what their monthly fees are, and what they're getting for services. There's not a lot of communities out there, and Rachel probably knows this, that are similar to ours, that are just, you know, the individual homes. And obviously Festival's not. But I think Joanne knew one area, or it's up here further north or something, that they're, oh, it is up further north here in Cordata, and they're individual homes. But we understand that the Village South, they're different models or different square footage like ours, but they pay assessment fees, or pardon me, HOA dues according to the size of their home, which we do not do. And, you know, people, I've heard people say, you know, they think that's a good idea, and some don't. But anyway, we just sort of brainstormed on that idea too, because, you know, costs are going to go up, and somehow, you know, these long-term things that, you know, as these homes age even further, are going to have to be taken care of and paid for. So anyway, that's sort of what our committee did yesterday. And so that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Linda. Any questions for Linda? All right. Pete, IT.
Good morning, everybody. Let's see. Let me do a quick share here. Everybody see my, not yet. Okay, now you should see the share. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'd like to propose that I've been doing this now for a long time, and I think that it's the same every time. And I'd like to propose that I just submit that to the board, and anybody has questions about it, they can bring it up. And then I'll just talk about the things that are different instead of just repeating over and over. But this time I'm going to do it. So Jerry's job, which is he does all the Zoom stuff and all the he takes the recordings and turns them into text for Vail and all that. And perfect job, because I don't have to do it. Makes it even nicer. The agenda minutes and many other times people, board members, need to submit something. We have a way of sending it in a fairly reliable email way. And so we do that. That was done several times. This one, a lot of calendar maintenance means printing every month or month and a half, the next four, and also adding people. You know, I'm the screen sort of, and I've never had to refuse any requests, so I'm not sure how useful a screen it is, but we do. And so if people do that and two people went for the same time, that did happen once. I had to tell the second requester that, no, you can't pencil it in because somebody else already has it. That's the worst of that. Mail is in, as you know, we invented it. It works fairly well. I put a secondary control thing on, so it would send out messages if the other one didn't. Well, it sends them out regardless. And I sent one out at 11 p.m. last night or the night before because the secondary kicked in. I'd had my machine off and turned it on. So I'm going to undo that. We're going to live with the basic one, unless somebody has really strong opinions about it. Our website has files from, since I've been on it, five different secretaries, and each one of them had a slightly different way of naming their files. And I just went with theirs because that's what everybody, you know, knows them by. Well, I started a project to go through and rename all of them into Vail's method, because you can't do searches easily for file names because they're all screwy. You know, they're all different. So I'm fixing that. And that's a fairly big job, surprisingly enough. But that's going on. Linda provides me with all the big update items that happen to units, and we put them into our unit database so we can produce an updated report that shows all the things ever done to any unit that we know about. There are some things done that didn't get in over different times, people didn't report, whatever. But we had quite a few of those because of the painting. And Linda also, after I do the updates, she looks through the reports and finds the mistakes, which sometimes there are, like last time spelling something funny, but anyway, we got that all done. So that's pretty much what we did over the last month. Any questions?
Okay. Vail, do you have a question?
I just want to say, first of all, Pete, commendations for maintaining a database, you and Linda, on what has happened to all the units. That's just so valuable for new owners and old owners. And also, I want to say, when you're doing this file naming thing, if there's anything that's, I'm not sure that I am even totally consistent in my file name. So we might want to just chat about that and make sure that I'm doing what, yeah, whatever. So I want to talk to you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if I see one where you're not consistent, I fix it for putting up on the web, but that doesn't fix it for you. So that means your local ones will be different than the web ones.
That's fine. Thank you.
Let's talk offline about it, but yeah, sure. Okay. I'm going to stop sharing. So everybody should be back to normal now.
Thank you, Pete. All right. Rupert, landscaping.
Okay. Let me share my screen. Okay, can everybody see my screen?
Yep.
So we met on May 5th, committee, first meeting of the year. We discussed committee roles. Chris Carson has volunteered to be secretary, and I am so pleased. Thank you so much, Chris, for doing that. We discussed removing the dead maple at Patty's house, and I have contacted Don to cut that down. We discussed what we're going to do out in front of 1256, where we took a maple down before. We discussed the unanimous shrub that we'd like to plant in front of Bill's house at 12:20 after we get stump grinding done. We did discuss stump grinding. I'm going to take an inventory and then I'll contact our tree surgeon. We're going to have a dead heather party sometime in June to clean some of those up. They've been coming back, some of them, after we've cleaned them up. So that's good news. The dead petunia on festival that everybody likes to see as they come in around the corner there. I've contacted Don to take that down, and we had great success last year with volunteer watering, and so we can get a volunteer to water that. We can replace it with a new petunia. That's the only reason why we've waited so long is because nothing gets irrigation back there, and new plants are going to need irrigation for some time. There's a dead or dying shrub on the side of 1268 there as you come in. I've contacted Don about taking that out. We'll replace that as well. We discussed Leslie's landscape request. And I don't know where we ended up on the faucet question, but that was a board approval question rather than landscaping. Chris wanted to plant a rhodi and we approved that. Talked about the rhodi at 1203. We'll talk about that later. Bark mulching. I think we're going to have a bark mulch party. And what we'd like to do is focus on the sides of 1200 and 1268 so that when you come into the complex, they look really nice because there's nice fresh bark there. Last year, we had two pickup truck loads. That was 4 cubic yards. We spent several hours out there with our bucket brigade going around putting bark mulch under the new dogwoods and new trees and what have you. This year, we're going to look more at the bare spots that are out there we'd like to make look nicer. Talked about our flooding issues. I mentioned earlier the desire to try and really find out how our storm drains work, especially back there. And interestingly enough, some of you have seen Dominic here, maybe on the weekend or what have you. I've always been in touch with Dominic, and I understand he's setting up a company and getting his LLC and licenses and what have you. And so maybe we'll talk to Dominic about what he would charge to do some exploratory digging back there. It's not fun. You dig a hole and hope that you dig it in the right place, and you're trying to figure out where to dig next. On the topic of seeing Dominic here, I think we've all seen Nate, the heavyset guy from days gone by. And then we saw on Tuesday, we saw one of the old crew. I don't know what all, I know Dominic works for a different company now, but Michael had hand surgery and so he's out. And so old crew members have come back to help Don out, which I think is a mark of respect for Don. I know that Dominic really respects Don. Anyhow. So we'll see where that goes. Irrigation survey, we did one before. We'll do one again once our irrigation system is actually running. I know Don did a lot of repairs. We spent over $1,000 repairing the irrigation system. It was mainly sprinkler heads, but also replacing some valves. But we'll do another survey to find out from residents where are they getting too much water and where are they not getting enough, and then we'll try and figure out what we can do with that. We talked again about creeping thyme. Chris is going to find out more about the cost of creeping thyme and about planting it and see if we can start trying it out in the bald spots on our lawn areas where we're, where we've got this kind of mold. I can't recall what we called it, but anyway, what the problem is. Tree replacement selection, Chris Carson suggested Japanese coral bark maple. Those are really pretty. They're red bark, so got color even when they don't have leaves on them. She's going to check into the cost of that. I will say one other thing is that I don't remember when exactly, but aeration of the lawn came up. Don's been sort of opposed to it. We've talked about this in the past. It's expensive. But our lawns really need it. We've got fungus type stuff, mossy stuff growing, and that's because they don't get aerated. So I think we're going to try and find a way to do that. If Dominic has got his company all set up, I think we could pay Dominic Dominic's cheaper, and we know he does good work. So that's the landscape committee report as it stands. Any questions?
Linda.
Rupert, do you know if when Don turned on the irrigation system, if he went around to each of the residents and made sure that they were operating correctly and pointed in the right directions and all?
He did.
He did. I saw him doing it, and that's why he had to fix a lot of stuff and cost us $1,000. Now, how well that works going down the road, I'm kind of interested to see. And obviously, if we do a survey, we might hear from residents. I think, you know, one of the concerns that we have based on what we just went through is if there's sprinklers spraying on the siding of a house, we don't want that to happen. So we need to find out where that happens. But that's all I can tell you.
Well, you know, a lot of it, the residents aren't going to know if they're working right or not because they come on late at night and people aren't walking around at 10:30 or 2 a.m.
Well, but we do know where it's dry and where it's damp. And that's been the thing in the past is, you know, when you see big puddles of water in the side of the house all wet, or you see dry, the land, ground's really dry and your plants aren't getting watered. That's what we've looked at before. And since we know how to actually use the little walkie-talkie device that turns the irrigation on and off, each unit on and off, when we get that feedback, we can then go out and test it ourselves and see what's actually happening. So, you know, our volunteer crew that does that, you know. So
I briefly mentioned in this meeting I had with the committee yesterday about when we were talking about siding is, I don't know that this year, but in the past, we've had siding boards that had to be replaced because there's a sprinkler head there. They're down, you know, low, the first one or two boards. And so we've either, you know, shut them off. Residents have asked to have them shut off, or they really shouldn't be going there because now we're, you know, having to replace siding. You know, and some people have plants in that area, others don't, but I don't know. Do you ask people to hand water the plants that are there so we don't end up with rotten boards because of a sprinkler hitting also the bottom couple boards of siding too? But is it, and yeah, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Any questions about landscape? One thing I will say is that things have got overgrown. And I think not enough pruning has taken place in years gone by. We have a lot of overgrown stuff. And then a mild winter and a very warm, sunny April, you know, things have gone crazy out there. And I know there's been, you know, the landscape crew has been doing a lot of pruning, but I really think we're behind in pruning. And I think that, you know, that's something I'm going to be paying attention to and try and get Don to be more proactive in pruning. He's in a difficult situation, you know, and this is the thing with vendors, long-term vendors, they're sort of like civil servants. Presidents come and go, civil servants stay, although that's changed now. But board members come and go, landscape committee members come and go, owners come and go, the landscape company stays. And so I don't blame Don for always looking for the course of least resistance. And I think that's kind of happened here. You have homeowners, especially newer owners coming in, you know, have all these specifics that they want, you know. So with 1208, it seemed like Hal liked all the plants growing really big. And then Marie Bishop comes in and says, oh no, I want all this stuff cut down so I've got some daylight. So, you know, it is thankless trying to keep up with the landscaping. But having said that, I think I'm going to ask Don to just be more thorough on cutting stuff back. It just needs to happen, especially in the places where folks don't look, between houses where nobody goes.
Yeah, I care back here.
So anyhow, so I, you know, that's just something we got to stay on top of. So if there are no other questions,
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Well, more of a comment. Well, a question. First of all, I just want to say I've heard us in previous meetings suggest that we give owners choice about how much pruning they want or don't want. And personally, I'm opposed to that because I don't think Don should have to go around and kind of intuit from owners, oh, do you want your plants pruned back? Oh, you want to let yours grow? Again, they're not the owner's plants. They're our plants. So I'm in favor of a uniform policy of pruning rather than making Don sit around and negotiate with people. That's one. But my other comment was about the creeping thyme. I'm curious about lawn mowing. If we're going to be putting like creeping thyme in the middle of the lawn, are we going to like create landscaped sections with borders or something so the lawnmowers don't come and mow over them? Like how does that
we understand that the lawnmowers can go over the creeping thyme without a problem. So that's why we're looking at it. And so Chris is going to verify that, but that was basically the plan, is that it's very low growing. It's pretty, and we want to make sure it can grow in those bare spots where the soil is infected with whatever the
okay. That's all. Thank you.
Any more questions for Rupert? Okay, thank you, Rupert. When we go down to unfinished business, 8.1 is drainage at unit 1224, Rupert. Have we covered that or do you have more to say?
No, we've covered that. You know, I think we're not gonna get a lot of rain, so we won't really know, but yeah, we've covered it. I'm not happy until we actually know how drainage works in this complex, and somehow we gotta figure that out.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. So 8.2, rules and regulations, Jody McBee.
Good morning, everybody. I think it's still morning. Yeah. on behalf of the Rules and Regulations Committee, I'm submitting the latest draft of the rules and regulations for board approval. The rules and regulations, I'd like to remind everybody that the rules and regulations are a work in progress. And as the committee continues its mission to update and improve the rules and regulations, we want to try to meet the needs of the community. And so we will continue to meet. And That's about it. I think I just want to present it to the board for approval. I might add that, you know, we have made it available for everybody to look at and examine. And so I think we're ready for the board to look at it for approval.
Is there a motion to accept the revised version of the rules and regulations? We need a motion. Jody, do you want to, Rupert moves?
Yeah, I'll move.
Second?
I second.
Linda seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Okay.
I would like to add a thanks to Sherry, Stephanie, Connie, and Vale for their service on this committee.
Okay, well, they have been approved. And so I understand the next step is that they will be printed out a copy for every homeowner.
Yes.
And distributed. And I do have a question on this. When we have our welcome meetings, and Vale, you can help me clarify this. We have new owners sign a form saying that they have received the rules and regulations. And so do we need to, when we print out the new set for everybody, include that page and have people sign it and send it into us? I see you nodding yes, Bale.
I don't know if that's required, but I think we should, because there are some significant changes. And that would be a way of, you know, just assuring ourselves that everybody understands what the changes are. I don't think, Jody, did we ever receive any comments from the draft that we've had available to people? Did anybody ever say anything?
I have not received any formal.
Okay.
Anything formal, but Rachel, do you have
something? Yeah, Jody, when you get those finalized, can you make sure that we get a PDF of them? Because we need those for our records, and we also put those in the resale certs.
Yeah, Vale, will you take care of that?
I was just going to say, I'll do that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. They do get them in the resale certs, just so you know. I'm sorry, Jody, I didn't mean to interrupt, but they do get them at that time as well.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Can I have some clarification on that, Rachel? Because our last meeting, Bishop, she has told me on numerous occasions she has not received a copy of our governing documents. And somebody from your office said, well, that's up to her real estate agent to give to her, not to you.
No, that is misinformation. When a unit goes on sale, we get notified in our office that they need a resale cert. And it's usually the seller, well, it could be either the seller or the buyer that pays for it, but then we provide, and it's required by RCW that a resale cert be done for each condominium that sells, and there's a complete form that has to be filled out, and they get copies of the governing documents and the rules and regulations in that packet. Also, if there's a owner information sheet, 55 plus age verification, those types of things, that all gets included in that packet as well. So every new owner that comes into your community is provided with those documents.
I was pretty sure that's the way it was. So I was a little confused when I was told it was the real estate agent that should have given it to her. So
no, that's not accurate.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Also under new or unfinished business, the rhododendron at 1203. Mm-hmm. Rupert.
Yes. So just to kind of recap, earlier last year, 1203, Joanne asked to have the rhodi either pruned or cut back. There were several conversations about that. We said, Landscape Committee, a work order was placed with Access requesting it either be cut back or pruned. In the fall, we asked Dawn to give it a significant cutback, and it was reported to me by Dawn's crew and by another owner that the crew were instructed by the point where it needed to be cut down. A stump was left. We were hoping that the stump would put out roots. It was a beautiful tree with significant roots to it. It would put out new growth. And we weren't sure if that was the type of rhodi that would put out new growth early or late. Some are pretty late in putting out the new growth. We were unaware of it, and then told, I think a few weeks ago, that someone had actually cut the stump down without permission. So we had two things happen that destroyed the rhodi. We had the owner instruct the crew to cut it all the way down to a stump, and then we had someone instructed to cut the stump down that wasn't the gardener's. And, you know, that's destruction of an association asset. So I would like to move at this point in time that with regard to the large rhododendron in front of unit 1203 destroyed last year at the instruction of the unit owner without permission of the association, that the association have the stump ground, have a new 5-gallon rhododendron purchased and planted, and the owner of unit 1203 be ordered to reimburse the association for the cost incurred.
Okay, is there
I
a
think
second?
All of you, I have communicated extensively with all of you about this, I don't think there's anything more to say about it.
Thank you. Are you seconding? Bill second? Yes. Is there any discussion? All right.
Sherry, I would like to say something here.
Joanne.
Don looked at it and he told us that there was no growth and it wasn't going to last. And Leslie McDonald had her landscaper was working at her place, and she brought him around, and he looked at it and he said, no, it wasn't. And for $50, he cut it down to the ground so that, because it would take $400 to take the whole root out. So that's what happened there.
All right. Any other discussion? So the motion is that the association is going to, if I can paraphrase, the association will grind out the stump, replace the roadie with a 5-gallon roadie, and will charge the homeowner for the cost. Am I accurate? Okay. If there's no further discussion, let's vote. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
I'm seeing, I want board members to vote, please.
So hold your hands up long enough to be counted.
Okay. Why don't we go through, Sherry?
Can you want a roll call vote?
Yeah.
Okay. Vale, okay.
Roll call vote. Sherry Thomas.
I don't vote unless there's a tie as president, but go ahead.
Really? Okay. Jody.
Yes, I vote yes.
Rupert?
Yes.
Vale, yes. Linda?
Yes.
Charlotte's absent. Bill?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
Motion carries. Thank you. So will the landscape committee be taking care of making those arrangements, Rupert?
Yes, the first thing is the once we get the stump grinders out, we'll have the stump grinder out, and then we'll do that stump, and then we'll investigate a roadie and go from there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
New business. Leslie McRoberts would like a change. Has asked for permission to replace the faucet in the back of her unit and put up a handrail. Leslie, would you like to speak to that? I see that you're here.
Yeah, and I think I did send in the request along with a picture of the hose in the back, okay? And you will see that the faucet is like half an inch away from where the deck comes out. The faucet itself is original to the house, and apparently the deck was built afterward and just encroached upon it. The faucet itself leaked. When you turned it on, you'd get a vibration in the house. And so, I mean, that was just, that needed to be replaced. In doing that, if we could just move the faucet 3 inches to the right so that you could get your hand onto the knob, that's my request back there.
Bill?
I want to say that I think I was negligent. I put this on the agenda, but I don't think I scanned and sent all the forms to the board members, which I'm supposed to do, and I didn't do that.
Okay.
So my apologies. But yeah, you can't really see this, but oh, there we go. Got it. And her deck is right here, and the faucet is like 2 inches away. You can't really see
it. Less than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, my apologies.
But just moving it 3 inches, that's all I'm requesting.
I think the one thing I would say from an association standpoint is to make sure that the replacement hose bib is of the anti-siphon freeze-resistant type, and that the pipe, as it's moved inside, because they're going to have to move the pipe a little bit in the crawl space, that be insulated as well, so that you're protected from that, because we don't want a broken water pipe. But I think that's the only kind of real concern with it.
Okay.
Sounds good. Any other discussion?
And I just want to clarify, and you're doing this at your own expense.
Yes.
People didn't ask, but yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll move to approve it.
Do we want to discuss the handrail or just include that in the...
Oh, no, I didn't know if you want to do these separately. I can talk to that now.
Sure.
Okay. This, again, this is something that Vale, you did, a few months back. Those handrails, they're glorified 2x4s. You can't grab hold of it, you're going down the steps. And so I wanted to replace it again, Vale, with the same vendor that you had requested. It seems to be a good solid grip, and they have a description of what it needs to be ADA compliant. The handrails tuck right into the wall so that you're not going to get caught on anything. And that's my request for the handrails.
Okay. Rupert, do you want to make your motion?
Leslie, what is the material of the handrail? Iron, wood? What is it?
No, it's not wood. It's some kind of metal.
I think it's stainless steel.
Yeah.
Okay, and I just wondered if we were going to have to come out and then repaint a handrail at your home.
Yeah, I'm okay. Sorry, but I did kind of, I'm asking for half forgiveness on this because I had to remove the handrail before the house was painted. So now they can just install the new one and it's not going to impact the paint.
Oh, okay.
It's, you want to try again, Rupert?
I'll move to approve both the moving of the hose bib and the handrail.
Is there a second?
I second.
Linda seconds. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor, let's see your hands, please. Any opposed? All right.
Thank you.
So the view from my deck will be much improved by seeing that, right? Your new hose bib. Okay. There's no other new business, but our two friends who could not get on this morning and came in after the members open forum would like to speak about bird feeding. Somebody's feeding the birds.
There is a bird feeder up on a house that has seed in it.
Do you know which house?
Yes.
Yep. Number
1227.
1227.
And there's also someone feeding the birds with crackers and bread.
And chicken. It's all ending and up chicken. In my fountain. I've had to, I have a crow coming in and bringing food regularly, and it's just making a mess. Anyway, I guess I will get a hold of whoever owns 1227 and tell them from the board. Is that okay, board members, if I tell them that they are to remove the bird feeder?
I think we should follow what the rules and regulations say, which is whatever it says, like a call and a warning letter or whatever.
You it's want in there.
Whatever yeah. it
you want
says.
To make this an official offense and send him a letter?
And yes. It to him.
These people just moved in recently. We sat down. We did a whole rules and regulation thing with them. It clearly says no birding, no bird feeding. So they should know that. So yeah, we should make it an official warning, whatever.
Okay, is there a motion directing me to do that?
I'll move.
Do we need to have a motion? Do we need to have a motion to enforce the rules?
If you, I believe it would. Yeah. Yes, I think we do.
It won't hurt.
Does bird feeding apply to hummingbird feeders?
No. So the first offense in the current rules says a warning letter and a call from the board.
So
I make a motion that we authorize Sherry to begin that process.
I second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. I will do that. They were really good about asking if it was okay to put up window boxes, so I don't think this will be a problem having her take that down. Any other announcements other than the next feed? Go ahead.
Who's the resident that's feeding crackers or something you mentioned?
Not sure.
Bread.
Not sure who's doing it, Linda. And I have to say that I'm not sure if it's residents in our area or if it's residents over in the apartments and such, but it's continuously happening. Big chunks of bread
and meat.
And meat.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Chicken bones and God knows what else I've seen out there.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to use my right arm for the next 2 weeks. And so if anybody likes to lift heavy parts off of fountains and clean them out, it's really gunky and awful, but you're welcome to come onto my deck anytime. So Anyway, if there are no other announcements, other than the next board meeting.
I'd like to have one just real quick. I attended the Cordata community meeting that occurred on Tuesday. Just a couple of points. By the way, the president of that is a Kate McDonald, who lives in the community back on Fuchsia. But it was a pretty good session. They do it down at the new Cordata Community Center down there. There's a new program they're talking about, Community Streets Program. We all got a cardboard or a piece of something in the mail with a QR code on it. Vale had mentioned it to me, and then it came up at the meeting there. But if you've got any concerns about the streets in the community, just look at that QR code. It was stuck in everybody's mailbox. It's an official mail from the city of Bellingham that that came out. So anything at all about streets in your community, in our community, just give them a call, QR code, and they will look into it. The CCLEC fix still works, by the way, and I called them, and they trimmed the growth on June and Aldrich there after the call. So I encourage everybody who sees things in the community to use that app. It's an application that's there. It's called CCLEC Fix. It goes right to the Bellingham officials, and they will do the work if it's fit.
Would you say that slowly, what the name of that app?
The app
See?
is CCLEC Fix.
Like, see a problem, click on it, they'll fix it.
Yes.
Okay, I need that spelled out for me, but I'll get that later.
CCLEC Fix. They did have a briefing on the new building at Watkin Community College is going up. It's across the bus station. Anybody's got any interest, but it's going to be a big building, a lot of construction. It'll be completed in September 26. They also had the Bellingham Police Department out. Lieutenant Claudia Murphy briefed. Apparently, there's a enormous amount of scam going on, a spam and scam with seniors. It's about toll roads, it's about banks, it's about any kind of credit card scam. Even one that claims if you miss jury duty that you got to pay a fine, and that is not. So the point is, no matter who it is, do not click on it, do not do anything on it whatsoever. The other thing that I learned at the Bellingham, the Whatcom County, I don't know if it's a state, but they do not check immigration status of criminals. They have no clue, and they said it's a law that's passed in '96, which prohibits the law enforcement officials, at least in Whatcom, from finding out or inquired about immigration status of any criminal. So it's kind of interesting. But anyway, that was the next meeting is sometime in September. They're usually pretty good. Anybody wants pizza and refreshments and listen to the community, they're down at the new community center.
Is that community center up at Cordata Park? Is that where they have the restrooms and the music area out front and
Yes,
so forth? Is that the building?
that's the
Okay.
building. And they're having two events. They're having the spring a music festival June the 14th, and then they have an ice cream festival on July the 19th.
Oh.
Well, maybe we ought to all start going and getting some of our some recompense for the dues we pay them, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We pay them dues?
No,
No,
that's
no,
not the
no,
same
no.
Oh, that's not the group.
Oh, just
Okay.
again. So what he's talking about is the city of Bellingham has 20, I think it's 24 recognized neighborhoods, and each neighborhood has a neighborhood association with officers, and that's their job to communicate with their neighbors and blah, blah, blah. That's different than the Cordata Business Park Association.
Okay.
So he's talking about the Cordata neighbor. When you see the little sign over there on June, that's the Cordata Neighborhood Association. And I think he's talking about they now meet at the new little building over by where the pickleball courts are at Cordata. They used to meet at the Presbyterian Church, and maybe they still do sometimes, but I think now that there is a building, they're meeting more often at Cordata Park. So that's what he's talking about. And I just wanted to add the business about the street survey. I read about it too on the Cascadia Daily News. This year, they're focusing, I think it's on like six neighborhoods, back to these neighborhoods, neighborhood associations. So Cordata is one of like six or seven parts of the city they're focusing on this year and asking people to come to fill out surveys about the streets in our area. Like here, they'll move on to thinking about some other area. So this is a good time, since the city's got a spotlight on us and our streets, for people to weigh in and say, you know, here's what we notice. I've done the survey. It's pretty short. It doesn't allow you to have more than one identified problem. But at the end, there is a comment section where you can add more information. So,
okay.
In my view, I'm an incurable speeder, but I have not had a ticket in 50 years. They need to lower the speed limit on Cordata Parkway. The 35 is dangerous. And I've talked to the city officials at several of these meetings. I've talked to the police, and they're, quote, looking at it, but they haven't done a damn thing.
I agree. I'm on that street every day, and you take your life in your hands sometimes. There's a couple of young people. Actually, I have to say the people who scare me the most when I'm trying to cross that street are senior citizens who have lead feet. But so far we're making it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I don't have
anything. Thank you for that. That was a good report. Okay, next meeting, we'll see you on June 19th. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you for all your work.
Go to the airport and get my daughter.